Hey everybody, Shane here with the Rock Paper Podcast. This week's episode is sponsored by Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance. She works with all lines of insurance, whether it's home, auto, life, or business. Give her a call at 636-288-4672. She'll get you a quote. It's fast, easy, and painless. See what she can save you some money and make sure you're properly insured. Again, it's 288-4672. Allison Barth Agency with Farmers Insurance.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Welcome to Rock Paper Podcast, episode 20. My name is Chris Bumeter.
I'm Shane Presley.
Remember Facebook, Twitter. Shane almost knocked his drink off the table here. We are sitting outside of a Breadco because they close at 9, and we thought they didn't close that late or that early, so we're outside. So if you hear cars, all that good stuff, it's because there's cars driving by in the background. So before we get into it with our guest here, I wanted to give a few shout-outs to some other St. Louis podcasts. It's kind of been a trend we've been going on, helping each other out, and we're working on getting a laser tag game someday, or bowling, I don't know, something. Yeah. Something that we can competitively beat them at. So shout-outs to STL Tech Talk, Geekly Podcast, Death Cake Podcast, all St. Louis-based podcasts. Check them out. If you guys know any other St. Louis podcasts that you want to support, let us know. We'll give them a shout-out on the show, or try to. I always tend to forget, so that's why I want to do it now, instead of the end of the episode, when I'm like, all right, that's it, and then just end off. So STL Tech Talk, Geekly Podcast, and Death Cake Podcast. Check them out. All St. Louis representing. Good stuff. So I guess this week, Kelsey McClure, who is the self-proclaimed chief.
Self-proclaimed?
Proven scientifically the chief of comedy in the loo.
Thank you.
Kelsey,
thank you.
Thanks for coming on and hanging out and sitting out in the Breadco environment here
of
with
course.
Us.
Of course. I'm thrilled to be here.
It was good. You had what'd you eat? Was that the broccoli and cheese
broccoli
soup?
Broccoli cheese soup.
So
I get it every time. There could be other things on the menu. I think the sandwiches, though, just exist to dip into the soup.
Yeah. So we're actually not going to talk about anything with comedy. We're just going to talk about broccoli
yep.
and cheese soup.
I can talk for hours about sandwiches. Hours. It's my duty as a woman to know how to properly create a sandwich.
Right. In a kitchen environment.
In a kitchen-like environment, obviously. Which is why I'm really glad that we're at a round table
right.
with chairs.
Equal
and
rights
that I'm
here.
Wearing an apron.
Yes. Yeah, I appreciate that, really, because when I brought it, I'm like, I don't know if she's going to wear it, but you're like, did you guys bring my apron? I was like, yeah, awesome. So this is really good that it's not weird or anything, because that would have been...
It's not weird. It's just totally normal.
Totally
normal. Got a pocket for my microphone.
Yeah.
A pocket for my smartphone.
That's right.
And a pocket for my
iPad,
knee pads.
For your recipe,
knee pads,
too.
Knee pads. Yeah.
That's true. God, now, you know, if we could just get women out of the workplace, life would be good, right? Jeez.
Yeah. Be great.
That'd be excellent. Yeah, we'll get all these mad letters. Hey, fuck you guys. So, let's talk about Comedy in the Loop, because I had not heard of it until
what?
Talking to Shane.
I am done with this interview.
Here's the thing.
If this microphone didn't look expensive, I would flip this table.
Shane bought it. You can totally flip it. Yeah. Just hold on. Let me get my laptop off so I don't, you know, that's the important thing. And just don't
flip
it.
Well, I'm glad that you've heard about it now.
I did from Shane because here's the thing. And don't take offense to that because
I take no offense to it.
I don't know anything. And like Shane, and we've talked about this on the show, that Shane goes and does all these awesome things, checks out comedians, musicians. I sit at home when I'm not working and I hang out with my son and my new daughter, my wife, maybe play Xbox. That's about it. I really don't leave Wentzville that much. So I'm pretty much like a hermit, and I just sit in my house. So
I've been trying to get him out, though.
I don't know about anything.
Yeah, come out to shows.
I took him to the Funny Bone for the first time.
And I feel spoiled because when we went in there, they're like, oh, hey, Shane, just go on in. Didn't have to pay for anything. They just let me in.
That's
so, like,
pretty nice.
If I try to go by myself.
Well, I will give you the star treatment. I'll put a sign with your name on it.
At a
Comedy in the Loose show.
Okay.
We'll let you pick which one, but okay. It cannot be Dave Chappelle.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Let's get into that. That's a big announcement today.
I mean, we'll talk about it now.
Oh, sorry.
That's pretty awesome.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when I found out that Comedy in the Loo was even being, like, questioned, or that our name was in the bowl for, a presenting partner with the pageant for Dave Chappelle, I kind of saw it was like, that's really cool that they saw Comedy in the Loo, but, like, he doesn't need any help.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
he's one of the biggest names in the history of comedy, I think. And it's really fantastic that we get to partner up. And you know, promote the show and talk about the show and have our name attached to something that, I mean, just being attached to the pageant in general,
right.
You know, it's been one of my favorite places to see shows. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen and read and people that come through town, everybody loves the pageant. So it's just,
yeah.
I mean, it's a win-win. My only hope is that I don't, you know, fuck it up. And I, the way that I would do that is, you know, not tell people about the show.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be okay.
Covering that, yeah.
You know.
No pressure. It's a Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, it's Dave Chappelle.
I mean, you built him up good. Oh, he's one of the great. Yeah, I mean, every comedian's the biggest actor. Was Dave
I didn't
Chappelle,
say he's the, did I say he was the
one
greatest?
One of, not the greatest. You didn't definitively say it.
And maybe he's one of the most recognized.
That's true.
Names in comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that's huge. That's awesome. That yeah. Now, how long's Comedy in the Lou been existed in a sense?
It'll be 2 years in December.
And you, That's
it's
impressive.
Pretty unreal.
Like, that's pretty
and this
crazy.
And this is why I asked that you introduce me as Comedy in the Lou and not a comedian, because 2 years into my comedy career, I would never have been attached to Dave Chappelle in any way, shape, or form.
2 years in, Dave Chappelle is headlining. That's actually the major announcement. He's or not headlining. He's opening for you, yeah. Who's headlining at the pageant.
Yeah.
That would be pretty awesome.
Right? That would be awesome. That it will never happen. Well, one of us will die before that's even possible. I
mean, like those odds, right? So, we were just kind of talking before we actually start recording, like, it sounds like you do some pretty much, like, grunt work. I mean, you are hard in doing all, like, all the heavy workload with Comedy in the Lou. So, what, on, like, a day-to-day basis, what are kind of the tasks that you're, outside of just general promoting, I mean...
Yeah, recently it's been, I've been really trying to get the, there's a lot of talents. The whole reason I started Comedy in the Lou was because there were these three separate worlds of comedy in St. Louis. And I found out about it through Punch Drunk Comedy, which is now Bare Knuckle Comedy. But they were the only show that was combining sketch, stand-up, and improv. Mm. And I had been working on that show for a long time, and the scene was starting to grow again. There were a lot more open mics. The improv shop was... They opened their new place down in the Central West End. And I felt like everyone was being not necessarily underrepresented, but that if we teamed up and like went at comedy as a group effort, mm-hmm. that more people would know about it, more people would be interested. The people who had a good time at a stand-up show could see, oh, well, what's the improv shop doing? I want to go check out an improv shop show and,
yeah.
you know, vice versa. So the whole point of Comedy in the Lou to begin with was just to talk about the talent and things that were happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody pointed out that why would anybody go to a calendar website? Because I was thinking, hey, I'll just put up a calendar and people will come check out my calendar.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, "What you need content. You need something for people to come and read and see your pictures to look at or videos to watch." Mm-hmm. And I could barely keep up with the calendar myself, which was a good and terrible problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to a bunch of the different comics, say, hey, start writing, start giving me videos, anything you want to contribute, please do it. And so now I would say every day, I'm trying to get a post every day up.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's just me looking at who's coming to town, trying to put posts up on Facebook or Twitter, anything to create a conversation and just start engaging people,
mm-hmm.
because that's the whole point of Twitter, is you want to be replied to, you want to be retweeted.
Yeah.
Facebook, not as much. Facebook's more of just like a, you need to, oh, that happened.
You throw
okay,
it out
cool.
there, and a lot of times they kind of interact themselves. When people start yeah. commenting, the conversation starts within that, where Twitter, it's
well,
almost...
Well, and the thing with Facebook, too, is now it's just so overwhelming. If you yeah. comment on something and you just think it's stupid, you're going to get a notification about everything else. Like, I didn't care that person had a baby.
Yeah.
I thought the head...
Sorry, I posted
you know,
that. That was my
you know, right? Not directed yeah. towards your kids.
No, it's totally understandable. I just post about my kids on just yeah. different pages all the time, so that's cool.
So, yeah, I just spend a lot of time trying to find interesting things. Like, when Hannibal Buress went out on late night TV in a jumpsuit with himself on it, it was like, yeah, this is great. Now all I have to do is just post this, you
right.
know, and that's going to create a conversation.
Yeah.
For people that aren't on TV or less well known, it's definitely more difficult and a lot more of a challenge because for the most part, people don't go to comedy shows unless they're on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, I think you said about the calendar though, but it's like, I like having that calendar because there's a ton of great stuff happening in this town, but you like Riverfront Times or anything like that where people might see these calendars, those shows aren't always listed on there
yeah.
as often as they should be.
Well, and you have to go through another, like RFT has been great about yeah. wanting to do more comedy.
Right.
But you have to know that you have to go through the music calendar to get to the comedy calendar. And there's not really even a comedy calendar to speak of. You know, the show announcements for comedy shows are the same place where there's music.
Yeah.
So somebody who doesn't know who, like Dave Ross, who we have coming in October, is, he's going to be at the Elvis Room, which is a music venue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to know that that's a comedy show.
Right.
By seeing that, which is why I put up the calendar on Comedy in Lieu, is because all comedy.
Yeah.
I will admit, I don't put dinner theater on there. I'm not entirely sold. I get questions a lot about burlesque.
Oh, yeah.
But I try to be as all-inclusive as possible.
Sure.
So.
Now, do you control, like, the Facebook and Twitter, or do you have somebody else that kind of goes through? And, like, in terms of posting, because, like, that's one of the hardest things I know with our page, like, posting. And you do a better job of it than I do. Like, trying to think of, what am I going to post on Twitter, and how am I going to make it more, you know, organized? So do you have, like, a kind of a routine that you go through? Obviously, if you
We've had to design a routine. I am, I guess I would say I'm the controlling factor in the Facebook and Twitter. You know, I have the beloved, what's it called? Administrator title on Facebook.
The power.
There's a handful of people that have the Twitter account password. Because it was like, I don't know when you guys are going to announce shows, and I don't personally want to, you know, I would rather people, they're going to be more excited about their shows than I am. I'm excited because it's comedy, but I don't know who they're bringing in, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know, you know, depending on what the venue is. So people, there are other people that do put posts up on Facebook and Twitter. Jeremy Helwig is usually the person that's like really on top of doing stuff on Facebook. Twitter is kind of just, everybody's for the most part is so focused on doing their own Twitter and developing and, you know, their own following that they don't use the Comedy in the Lou, which I totally understand. I mean, I do that as well. I just try and retweet.
I'll say, I guess
I've had
conversations.
I mean, I've had conversations back and forth with myself on Comedy in the Lou and Megha Kelsey, which I am not at all ashamed. And typically, it will end in me being like, "Well, yeah, that's what I just said," and then, "Oh yeah, we're the same person."
Where did we go wrong?
Full disclosure is what I, you know. So.
That's right. Well, I think it's the hardest thing, like I said, with social media, that's where people kind of go to find things, and it's keeping up on that and staying relevant and, you know, posting basically as much as possible with content, you know, normal content, because I think people get turned off when it's post 15 times a day and it's nothing relevant. But I think that's kind of something like Shane was saying, that there's not a real go-to thing for music, like specifically local people. You know, there's always the big acts that you know when they're coming in, but like you say, same with local comedians, you may not necessarily know who's coming in or what the deal
is. They just don't even know who they are.
Right.
I mean, there was a time in the Funny Blown's glory days where people just went to comedy shows because they just wanted to go to a comedy show.
Sure.
That doesn't happen anymore. People aren't going to take a risk on comedy the way they did in the 90s. And that's because they know better, because YouTube exists, because Twitter accounts exist, because, you know, they can get a pretty good idea of what the person's about by spending less than a minute on whatever it is they're putting out.
Yeah.
So they go on, they go, "Oh, well, who's this guy? I don't know who that is." Where in the past, they had to go to the show to find out. They had to pay the $20. They had to get in line. They had to get their two drinks. And now it's, "Oh, you know, I'll use Dave Ross again as an example. Who's that?"
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, "Oh, he was on Drunk History. Great. I want to go see that guy."
Yeah.
You know, or it could be like, "Oh, he made this stupid tweet with his women group, and that's really offensive. I don't like that. I don't want to go see him now." Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Which, if you guys don't follow women on Twitter, you absolutely should.
I'll start.
Women. Yeah. It's women comedy. It's probably my favorite Twitter feed. Yeah.
Well, I know that we were kind of talking last week, too, with, well, not, I mean, you were talking too, but, like, there's no mystery between almost universally in the entertainment industry. And where, if you want to see a musician 20 years ago, you actually had to go see him, or now even a comedian.
Yeah.
Now it's, you go on YouTube and, like I said, Twitter, and you know everything about him. You can probably go through and see a whole set almost.
Yeah.
Which, obviously, it's not like the comedians are set are the exact same after every show. You know, they have, but that is got to be difficult for the comedians and things that...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and there's... We're getting to a point with comedy where video is the most important and also the most detrimental thing to your comedy career.
Right.
Because to get booked at anywhere, to be an opening act, to be a feature act, unless it's through the comedy club itself that you're a regular at,
mm-hmm.
you need to have a 3-minute or a 10-minute video. to show the agent, the manager, whoever it is, that you're capable of stringing words together, and, you know, making a joke, being funny. You know, that's all they need to see.
Yeah, but
the problem with that is for a guy who's been working for the last year to 2 years to get his tight 10 minutes, that's the best stuff he has. So if he puts that on the internet to sell off to agents and managers, everybody can see that. And then he goes to the comedy club and he does that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's already, everybody's already seen it. So it's just this weird
double-edged
sword. How much do you put out? How much do you not put out? And I think that's why, like, STL Up Late, those guys are killing it because they do a different show every other week, but they're also putting out videos that are like teasers. You're not going to see that video at the show.
Yeah.
You know, and they have stand-up, they have sketch people, they have improv people. I mean, as far as Comedy in St. Louis, they're probably like one of the best examples of, like, this is how you do social media, this is how you put yourself out there. If you put something out there that's funny and different, you know, than what your live act is going to be. But then at the same time, who has the time for that?
Yeah. I mean,
I was talking with the two guys, Josh and Eric, that are the like co-founders of STL Up Late. It takes 33 people to put on a single show.
Wow.
Which is unbelievable.
Right.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you got to think of, I mean, I'm sure, you know, the writers, shooting it, editing, I mean, all that stuff, and it takes time, and especially you said releasing each one, I mean, every week, multiple things, that's incredible.
Yep.
And, I mean, I think you get what you put into it, too, that, I mean, those guys are seeing results, you know, and fans, but at the same time, yeah, it's just like anything else. If you don't put in that work, I mean, you can't expect to just upload a thing on your phone and be like, okay, here you go. I mean, except for those few viral, you know, things, but those don't stick, you know, to have something established and with merit to it, yeah, you have to put in the work, and that's I give props to those guys, because that's, I've messed with, you know, I've made videos and stuff and went to school for it, and that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
On top of writing creative, funny material. Like, that's the hardest part. That's nuts.
I mean, and the thing, too, is all of these guys have jobs. They all have day jobs.
Right.
For the most part, nobody, I can think of two people off the top of my head that have an income primarily based off of comedy that do other things just as, like, side gigs. Mm-hmm. Every other person that's producing comedy in St. Louis has a 9-to-5 of some sort, whether you know, whether it be an actual 9-to-5 or a, you know, a serving gig or whatnot, and they're doing all the comedy on the side. So the fact that they're able to do a new show every other week, and even for the stand-ups, the fact that they can stay out till 1 o'clock in the morning and hit open mics every single night of the week, and then clock in and go to work, and then come out and do it,
grind.
It's a grind, but and at the same time, it's absolutely necessary.
Right.
You can't half-ass it if you want to do anything with it.
Yeah.
So you'll never get the helicopter that's flying above us right now.
Here it comes. Wait, yeah.
We're never going to have a St. Louis comedy helicopter. That's never going to happen.
That was a VIP. We ordered that in for you, so you're welcome.
Thank you.
It's missing its target. I think it's going to Barnes & Noble. So
rightfully so.
I mean, if we could pay that extra $500, we'd be good on top of the $700 or something.
I was listening to Stern Show, and they had Lenny Kravitz on this week, and Lenny was telling the story about, like, leaving home at 15 years old and hitting the road to become a rock star, and, like, you know, didn't have a plan B. It was to become a rock star. And it's like, I can't imagine. That's, like, got to be one of the scariest things. Like, but it's like you're saying all these guys have their day jobs still, and it's like, when do you find that point where he's like, I got to quit this?
I think it's more. I think it's more scary to have options.
Yeah.
I think, like, the Lenny Kravitz example is, you know, at the time that Lenny Kravitz was coming up, he had a skill.
Sure.
What does he play? Guitar?
Everything.
Oh, he does everything? Yeah. All right. So he has lots of skills, but his skills are a very niche directed market.
Yeah.
So he knows that he can make it in music in some way, shape, or form. But what he doesn't know is that, like, hey, he's got funny tweets and he could maybe go into marketing, you know, that's the challenge that people are faced with, of especially people my age. You know, I'm 26, I have a marketing communications degree, a minor in philosophy, a minor in video production. you know, I know that there are options. There are like 10 different things I could do. And I do a lot of things okay. I wouldn't say I do anything exceptionally well. But it's like, I would rather like just have like one, like I'd rather know how to do HTML really, really well than know that I could tell a joke and make a room full of people laugh. I would like to be able to like shut that down and not have that desire to like constantly seek approval.
Yeah.
If I could write the fuck out of some code, I'd be writing the fuck out of some code, and that would have been me.
You should write some
been
funny
like,
code.
What are those dummies doing, talking on their computers outside of, what are we at, you know, St. Louis Bread Co.
Right, yeah.
I want to make $1 million.
Yeah.
I want to make $1 billion.
That would be, that's a lot of money. But
it's not going to happen.
If you make $1 billion, please offer us like $1 million.
Yeah,
I feel like
absolutely.
You could
if I make $1 billion, you guys get my first $1 million.
Hell yeah.
I'm just going to have money to throw.
just tearing it up in front of us. Here, I didn't need that one, but you can have this one too.
I didn't say what form you'd get it in either, so.
It's all pennies.
But no, I think, you know, going back to Lenny Kravitz, I think there is definitely, you know, it's honorable to have that kind of, you know, regardless of what you're doing, to have that kind of, like, stubborn-minded, I'm going to do it. And if I don't do it, then I'm not going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he's kind of like the worst girl. He's like the girl that wants the new pair of shoes. And if he doesn't get the new pair of shoes, people are going to hurt.
There's going to be hell to pay. Yeah. Give me those shoes. No. Well, I think, God, it's so hard. Like, I can't imagine any form of entertainer, like, going out at now because of what the business is like. And, you know, to say that I'm going to go out and do this, and there's such a huge, bigger aspect to it now than just saying I want to go play guitar in a band for now, because there's no money in it. I mean, unless you're one of those pop, you know, exception pop stars. But I just like to, I think that even gives them more credit to, or that drive to say I'm going to do it, because there's even more barriers, I think, holding you back. And there's more opportunity in the sense of YouTube and things like that. But, like, it just, that just blows my mind that people are still like, I want to go do this for a living. And knowing how maybe little money there is or whatever, because you still gotta make a living.
I mean, it's like the caste system. There's a really high high and there's a really low low, and people tend to like teeter on either side. There's not really a lot of people, you know, taking the middle road. And I think now, as far as comedy goes, you know, really any entertainment industry, I can only really speak though for comedy, is that you have to have a business sense to make it nowadays. Like, there are people that still say, well, I'm just funny and people are going to discover me. No, they're not. There's nobody's coming out to comedy shows. They're waiting for that 2-minute video to come into their inbox and they're going to watch that, and that's it. You know, people don't go to comedy clubs. As far as St. Louis goes, you know, there aren't talent buyers going to the Funny Bone to find out who the next big thing is. The people that are buying talent don't live in St. Louis. They live in New York or LA or Chicago. And they have people that are here around at shows to tell them what's good and what's not.
Yeah.
And I think, like Dane Cook's, like, an example of, like, he's a guy who was really good at the business side of comedy. And he got famous really fast, and people hated him for it because he's not the funniest comedian there is.
Right.
You know, he doesn't have new ideas. He doesn't have new jokes. He tells jokes about ridiculous things. And everybody knows about the Louis C.K., Dane Cook battle of, well, you made jokes about itchy assholes. Really? You know, that's funny. There's gonna, like, people make jokes about relationships.
Yeah.
But he was the first person, I think, that, like, got it, was like, I can't just be funny. Gotta be able to sell myself.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, he blew up through MySpace. Like,
yeah. He hit it right at the right time. Right. I mean, he conquered social media when social media was first a thing.
Well, they were saying something, I forget the numbers, but they were talking about him, like, and how he's sold out, like, two nights at, like, in Boston, like, through MySpace. Like, he did, a pre-sale through MySpace, and, like, just from his MySpace friends, he sold out, like, two nights in some arena, and it's, like, that's just unheard of, because people weren't even using MySpace, really, at the time for that kind of networking. And but he figured out how to use it and use it to his advantage. And
well, he was the first, I think, modern day rock star comedian, if you will, who was going about. I mean, and it was maybe just me, but I had never heard of any comedians in our generation, at least, that were selling out arenas. You know, there were big comedians and things like that, but I mean, he was the one that just, and maybe just because
Yeah, he was definitely the guy that, you know, wasn't a TV comedian that also had a stand-up career. You know, right. He was just a... Might have been on TV, I don't know. I mean, I found out about him through MySpace.
Yeah, yeah, I don't think I'd ever... And then he moved to kind of movies after that, and I think...
I didn't.
The movies, you know, were terrible.
Yeah, but it's funny because he blew up so fast, but now it's... It ended just as fast, it seemed like, you know, and yeah.
I did not think we'd end up talking about Dane Cook.
Hey,
that's all I was shooting for. That's,
he brought it up, though.
I know I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We said Dave Chappelle's coming to the pageant.
Yeah, it is unreal. It's still unreal. 10:30. He's not doing a lot of dates.
I was going to say, because, yeah, how much...
I think at the moment he has 6 shows announced, and I've just been... overwhelmed with the response that it got. When Hannibal Buress was announced, the Comedy in the Lou post got like 30 shares, and I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I emailed the person at the pageant, was like, Holly, did you promote this? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, did you promote it? And I was like, by promote, I mean, you know, paying the money to get Facebook
right.
to put it as a priority.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like, I never get over 100 likes on a status update, and I said something about, you know, what's his butt? What's his name?
Dave
Chappelle.
Chappelle. Yeah, what's his butt? He a comedian?
Yeah, he's a comedian. You know, and he got like over 100 likes. We're just like, oh my god, people. I mean, everybody knows who he is.
I was excited because I wanted to see him last year. He did the Oddball Comedy Festival.
Oddball Fest is amazing.
Yeah, I've been wanting. I wanted to really go this year too, but and I was just like. It doesn't. I think the closest it's been is Chicago, and it's like, and that's a pretty good little, you know, drive and the ticket price and everything.
Yeah.
But it's like that lineup though is incredible, and it'd be a lot of fun.
I really wanted to figure out how to get to Festival Supreme. Are you guys familiar with Festival Supreme?
So.
Festival Supreme is Tenacious D's comedy festival, and they have everybody on it. Everybody. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
Because. That Friday, Hannibal Buress will be at the pageant in St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
And I'm staying
just
for Hannibal.
I got to see Tenacious D at the pageant I guess 2 years ago maybe now. That was a lot of fun. Those guys are... They put on a great show.
Played a giant wiener on the stage.
Yeah.
It was great. And it kind of like... I guess they can't really see what I'm doing, but
it's great.
It's like a Weeble Wobble combined with the flappy things outside of like air, like tire places.
Yeah. I think immediately people are thinking, what kind of moves can a wiener make?
An inflatable wiener.
An inflatable wiener, and I'm sure they went right to that one, so that's understandable.
Yeah.
We'll post a video.
And then they shot a load all over the entire crowd.
They did. I forgot about that. That was the best part.
Little like paper sperms were all over the place.
Yeah.
And,
it was good.
They didn't legitimately shoot. Sperm all over.
It was like a confetti cannon in this big inflatable wiener, and it blew little paper sperms all over the crowd. So that was their encore. So it was pretty good.
Good for them. Good
them. So we got who else is on your? I looked at the lineup, and it's like I told Chris, it's like the dream team of
It really is.
Of active comedians.
After last October, several comedy shows that I had booked absolutely tanked because the Cardinals went into postseason. And I said, I will never book a comedy show in October ever again. And then Cam O'Connor, who is a comedian out of Ohio, reached out and was like, hey, going on tour. Going out with Sally Brooks, a couple other people. Can you book us in October? And I said... I said yes, absolutely.
Right.
But heads up, we're probably going to get baseballed.
Yeah.
And
that's the term, right?
Baseballed, yeah. And so they're going to be at the they'll be at the Elvis Room on October 9th. It's a Thursday night. It's an early show, so people can come out and go to that show and then check out the open mic across the street at Fitz's. Mm. That being said, I am super pumped that Blueberry Hill is excited and wanting to do more comedy.
Yeah.
Because I think between the pageant, Fitz is having the established open mic, and then Blueberry Hill doing more stuff, like, we could really turn the loop into, like, a comedy hotspot.
For sure, yeah.
Who else we have? Dave Ross is going to be at the Elvis Room as well on October 15th. That's a Wednesday. Dave Ross just opened for Kyle Kinane when he came to town. He's one of those guys that has absolutely blown up in the last year. He has been on Drunk History, Kyle Kinane, He's not been on Kyle Kinane that I know of. He opened for Kyle Kinane. His podcast, Terrified with Dave Ross, was picked up by the Nerdist Network. Nice. I know I'm missing something. Oh, he's been on Tosh.0. I mean, he's doing it all. Sam Talent is going to be at Foam on the 14th, which is super rad. He's coming down from Chicago. That show's cheap. I was like, hey, man, let's make it $5. And he goes, make it $3. More people will come. So it's $3 nice. To come see Sam Talent. And then as far as pageant shows goes, we have Hannibal Buress coming up. We have Anthony Jeselnik coming up. We have Nick Swardson. Well, that's – when is this going out? Can we erase that?
It's all right.
Nick Swardson is on Wednesday, September 24th, right. Which was a while ago. And then we also – did I say Hannibal Buress already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris D'Elia is coming through.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one. I like Chris a lot.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. And it's really great. The pageant has booked more comedy shows in October and November than they have, I think, in the last 2 years combined.
Yeah.
So
it's
Mike
insane.
Birbiglia just happened, and that was by far and away one of the greatest comedy shows I've seen.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good comedy in St. Louis this year. A lot of good stuff.
Are you guys a part of the TIG show also?
No, we are not doing TIG. That is coming from the Ready Room.
That would be a good show, too, though.
It'll be a great show.
Yeah.
Oh, Maria Bamford's coming to town.
Oh, man, yeah.
She's going to the Funny Bone.
Yeah. If you don't know any of these names, look them up. Get out and go see a show for sure, because all these people are at the top of their game, I think. Like they're some
the people
of
the, that are coming through St. Louis the next month,
yeah,
it is like... A year ago, when I first started, the Firebird was like, hey, do you want to do a live show? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out. So I just followed Bare Knuckle Comedy's formula because it's the only way I knew how to do it. I had been around their shows, so I booked stand-up, I booked sketch, and I booked improv. And it did okay. It sold really well, which was surprising and amazing. I forgot exactly where I was going with this. Oh, so I booked a comedy show, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I was like, hey, who do you guys want to see? What are the comedians? Because comedians don't go to comedy shows.
Mm-hmm.
I see Kenny Kynes at comedy shows. I see Bobby J. Cox occasionally at comedy shows. But other than that, comedians don't go out to comedy shows, which I don't understand why. But I said, who would you guys go see? And they gave me a list of all of the comedians they wanted to see.
Right.
And I would say in the last year, probably 50% of that list has been crossed off.
Mm.
And the cool thing about that is, you know, comedians know comedy. They're not going to put down people that are idiots.
Right.
You know, what's his face that does the puppets? He wasn't on that list.
Yeah.
You know, that's not comedy. That's,
yeah.
It's comedy. It's funny. It's great. People go... But, you know, it's a shtick. Literally, it's a shtick. The guy has puppets with sticks.
Well played.
You know, it's a shtick.
A lot of people always go on about Jeff Dunham, and I'm like...
That's his name.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the puppets, if you took away the puppets and things, the material itself is not quality. You know, it's all right, but it's the fact that he's got the puppets and he does the voices, and that's what, you know, it's the whole act is... It is entertaining for people, but it's like, I don't know. For me, it's not comedy.
Like Mike Birbiglia pointed out in his show last week, he said, you know, there's a difference between a joke and a shtick. He goes, you know, I like to write jokes. I don't have a tagline. Like, I don't say, get her done.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of like, oh, no, you didn't. Just call him out. But at the same time, you know, he's got a good point.
Yeah.
You can say something ridiculous and say, get her done, and then people are going to laugh.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not any thought that goes into that.
Right. Well, once it hits, it's just milking it as much as possible.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there's, you know, there's no effort behind it. It's just...
That being said, he's probably got $1 million.
Right, yeah. So. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's...
Well, he's probably got $1 million just from those Prilosec commercials.
Oh.
That's a great product, though. Yeah. I mean, I can't down him, you know. Isn't he not... Actually, like, that's all just a character, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's I've seen
he has writers for his character.
I mean, because I've seen him, like, and there's an
his
old interview, and he's just like, he's like, hey, I mean, he just, it's...
I think it all started, like, as a there was like a local radio station, and he would call in, and he started developing this character, and he would call in as Larry the Cable Guy, and he would kind of give his thing, and it was kind of like a reoccurring character on the show. And then that developed into his, because he was originally just a stand-up, Dan something, I forget his real name, but then that character became a hit, and that became his life. Like you know, so he is only Larry the Cable Guy now, and it's like,
it's just funny because people are like imitating, not that they're imitating their life, but you're like, that guy, and it's like, it's not real. But
well, at the same time, though, I think the cool thing is with character comedy is essentially what you're doing in comedy anyway is your own character, but like I call it like 2.0. Like when I go on stage, I try and be Kelsey 2.0. I try and, you know, not embellish, but, you know, jazz up the things that I think people would get excited about or relate to. Whereas, like, in a normal day-to-day thing, I'm not going to, like, fucking pump my fist because I got a free latte like I just did.
Right.
It wasn't even a latte. It was an espresso. I just said, oh, cool. Yeah. Sister's going to be pissed, you know? And my joke, I would have been like, whoo, you know, going crazy, beating my chest.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that, you know, he did it way too over the top for people to be able to make it relatable.
Yeah.
But also, you know, at the same, it's a good point of, hey, all you got to do is just really be eccentric.
Yeah.
And people will be fascinated by that.
I think there was like a kind of a similar thing with Chappelle, like in how Chappelle's show took off. And then, he, like, I remember hearing something in one of his specials about how, like, you know, he was doing the Rick James stuff, and then like how he would be out in public and people would come up to him like, and everybody was saying, I'm Rick James, bitch, you know, like, and he's like, man, I'm in front of my kids, like, you know, call me a bitch in front of my kids. And like, but that was like, you know, that whole thing, like, that was a character of Chappelle, and like, but it became like where people thought that was all he ever did was, you know, this Rick James stuff, and everybody thought they were the funniest people to say it, you know. It's like,
yeah,
but yeah, it's like, I mean, so you kind of gotta watch where you go with your characters, because it, you never know which is gonna blow up and take off. And
but
I don't know. I are you guys there's another good one, is Nick Thune
coming to town? That's the Firebird show.
That's
gonna be great. I am a big fan of Nick Thune, and Doogie Horner is coming back, and he was just at Foam in May?
Yeah,
Doogie was in town the week that we had Ben Kronberg, and
that was a good week.
Eric Anker had a couple other shows going as well. Actually, Eric Anker is coming back with Sam Talent for that Foam show on the 14th, so it'll be cool to have him back. He and I kind of became buddies towards the end of his time in St. Louis, which I was like, ah, man, why does that always happen? You, like, find somebody to go sit by the pool with you because neither of you have day jobs, and then they have to move to Boston.
I was talking to Eric outside of that Firebird show with Ben, and he's not the only one, but it makes me laugh, but he was going on about how, like, thinking I'm a comic
because
he sees me all the time, and I kind of get... It makes sense, because I always hear, like, if you want to be in comedy, you got to be around.
Yeah.
And but it's like, I don't have any desire to be a comic. I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
But he sees me at these shows, and he just assumed, he's like, he said something about catching one of my sets or something. I was like, I don't do comedy, man. I'm just a fan.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no shit. He's like, well, that's even cooler, man. Like,
it is. It's really rare. I mean, that's the weird thing about comedy in St. Louis, is it's gotten to the point where comedians don't have friends anymore, because they do comedy so much that their friends aren't interested in going out to another open mic to see them try and develop the same joke, you know? And so it is very difficult to get people out to shows, because you used to rely on the comedian who had just been doing comedy for a year and was super pumped and told his family and his friends, and they'd bring 20 people through the door. And now we've got such, you know, a defined core group of comedians that are working together. And, you know, that in itself is amazing, that there's that sense of community, but it also kind of isolates them from everyone else. And so for someone like you to be interested enough where you're, like, willing to, like, maybe hear the same joke twice, you know, there's just not many people that would be interested at all in, like, the progression. They just want to see the grade A stuff, which, yeah, who blames them? Nobody wants to watch Steven Spielberg doodle on his notepad of like, maybe I'll do this with a, you know, dinosaur. No.
He's drawing feathers on him. Look at him go.
Okay.
You know, actually, people probably would watch to pay to see him. That was a terrible example.
Sounds like
I love that, though. Like, I like watching that act progress and, like, you know, you mentioned Kenny and Bobby and a couple of the other guys we have around town, and I've seen them, you know, several times, but it's like each show is also different because a crowd reacts differently, and sometimes you know, some of their improv can come in where if like something hits and or like some a particular funny laugh or whatever it might be, like they can kind of run with that, and but it's like I like watching all that develop and progress because it's like it's just fun for me. Like, even though I might have heard the joke before and I know the punchline, but it still makes me laugh every time. And
see, that's what I think. Like, if you went and saw a comedian, even if it's like, okay, I saw him before, that I would still be like, yeah, but stuff happens that doesn't, you know, even like when you go see a band, they're going to play the same songs and there may be little variances, but the exciting thing about comedy is that there's times that you can riff and improv that not every show is going to be that robotic where it's like this joke, it's going to be different every time. And I think that's got to help build some
It does. It helps build it, and it also is the reason why people don't come out to comedy shows, because comedy gets all... So Comedy in the Lou exists to bring all of the comedy together, but then also the fallback to that is that comedy all gets dumped together by people that don't understand that there is a difference between stand-up and sketch and improv, that there's a difference between a comedian who's been telling jokes for 2 years and someone who's been telling jokes for 7 years. And somebody will take a risk and go see a stand-up comedy show. They'll go up to Fitz's on a Thursday night, and let's say Kenny Kynes, who's a guy who kills it almost every single night, has had a bad day. He's not really feeling it. There's some jerk in the crowd who's just rubbing him the wrong way, won't let him get a sentence out, and he's having an awful time, and he doesn't have a single joke, and then it creates this weird tension and like heavy, just thick air in the crowd, and it's not comfortable, and it's not fun, and it's not enjoyable in any way. So that person will walk away from that and be like, well, comedy in St. Louis sucks. They can't even control their crowd. The guy can't even get two sentences out. Like, I'm never going to another comedy show again.
Those are always, they make sure to go on Facebook that night and write a review.
It's like Yelp, but not even as important.
I've read some of that's like comments and things. People like leave these Facebook reviews at the Funny Bone or whatever, and about how like they're such a terrible time, and it's like that's one isolated incident, and like where, you know, and it, but they of course they want to label the whole entire city of St. Louis as awful a comedy.
That's the thing that. For the Funny Bone, man, comedy clubs all over the place are... Nobody does just one thing anymore. And, you know, comedians are realizing that they can do 20 cities if they go to rock clubs as opposed to going to 5 cities and doing just comedy clubs. And so it's really changed the face of the comedy club. And, you know, it's unfair for somebody to go to the Funny Bone and say that comedy in St. Louis sucks for the same way that it's unfair for somebody to go to the Firebird, you know, and see a show and say that music in St. Louis sucks, which they wouldn't say that. But I hope. I don't know.
Somebody would.
I love the Firebird. You know, they gave me the opportunity to create a show, which then expanded into Comedy in Lou acting as a promotional agency and being a lot of other things. So
if you had a kind of all-star, if it was your show, you say, okay, I want these 5 comedians to come in, and that's probably insane.
I don't even want to say that, because if anybody hears this and books those people, I will be so mad at them, because I will be so mad. I'll be like, oh, I wanted to do that, and I'll also be like, I'm buying tickets.
Let's say, so who are some comedians?
I'll do my top 5 show.
And they don't have to be like your favorite, but just...
If I could spend an evening watching comedy, I would want to see Zach Galifianakis. I would want to see Nick Offerman. I would want to see Kyle Kinane. I would want to see Tig Notaro. And for number 5, I don't know. That's a tough one.
That'd be the surprise guest.
Can I just do
four? Four. Four and a surprise guest I'll that's being named when the show actually happens.
Yeah.
Helps sell the tickets, you know.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But yeah, but the cool thing is a number of those people are already coming to town.
Yeah.
Can I go back in time?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
I would like to have seen Mitch Hedberg. I know that's a total cop-out, and everybody's like, hey, I would have liked to have seen Mitch Hedberg.
I got to see Mitch.
You got to see Mitch? Did you see that show at the pageant?
Yep.
Yeah, that was like, what, one or two before he died? Or was it the last show before he died?
It was right, yeah, right before, I don't know how many shows, but yeah, it was right. I remember I was super pumped because it was supposed to be Mitch and Stephen Lynch co-headlining.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, maybe a month or something before the show, they announced that Stephen was going to have to drop off because he got the wedding singer on Broadway, and he was playing he was playing Adam Sandler's character in the movie, and which was a big opportunity for him. And so Mitch, I forget who he brought with him, but he brought some of his friends, and like I said, I don't recall any of their names, but so they filled the rest of the show up, and it was a great time. And but it's one of those things where it's like, I'm so glad that I was there to experience it, and now I've been one of those, well, I'll see him next time, because, you know, there wasn't a next time. Mm-hmm. So that was like, I always Stacy always gives me trouble because I see a lot of the same people all the time when they come, every time they're in town and stuff, and she's like, oh, well, you've seen them before. I'm like, yeah, but if I miss this time,
it's gonna be it's gonna be different, you know, too. Oh, I thought of my fifth, Reggie Watts.
Oh man, Reggie's great too.
I totally get what you're saying. Like, well, and that is that's what I love so much about comedy, is that a year later, if they're a good comedian, they're going to come back with a completely different hour.
Oh, yeah.
And I am so happy that Louis C.K. came out and said that, you know, it took somebody who was doing it to make it the standard. And, like, Christopher Titus is another person. I didn't know much about him, and he came through town, and I knew that he had done all these specials and put out all these DVDs and whatnot, and he just kind of looks like an asshole, so I didn't really, like, take much interest in him ever. It's like, you're good-looking, and you look like you're a dick, like you would be pissy if I took too long ordering something in line, so I don't want to listen to your comedy. And then I was actually given the opportunity to interview him, and he was the nicest person that I've interviewed, one of the nicest people that I've interviewed. Like, he was the only person that said my name back to me. Like, he, like, it was like, Kelsey. I was like, whoa, Christopher Titus said my name. This is great.
Yeah.
But his show was, it was almost unreal. You know, he had a 2-hour show that everything came full circle, and it was funny, and it was thought provoking.
Yeah.
And it was all of the best things about, you know, he might have talked about his dick. I don't remember, you know, but it wasn't like, you know.
It's not your typical stand-up show. It's more of a one-man act.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. The guy doesn't use a microphone.
Right.
Or if he did, it might have been like a in your suit or whatever thing. A hands-free. But, yeah, it was just. And the cool thing for me was being a part of the comedy community, you see the same people at comedy shows for the most part. There are some comedians that get a different kind of crowd, but if a show's happening at the Firebird, there's going to be the 10 people that I see at every comedy show at the Firebird for a comedy show, you know?
Yeah.
We're at Christopher Titus. I saw 2 people that I knew.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I got to figure out how to get these people to a comedy show.
Right.
Yeah.
How do I tap into what they're interested in? You know, because if they think he's funny and he's one of the most, like, thought-provoking and challenging guys, you know, they're going to love the shit out of Dave Ross, who just goes up there and tells stories and is hilarious. They're not going to have to walk away being like, oh, man, what should we do about gun control in the United States of America, you know? We're just going to get to go in and forget about what to do about gun control in the United States of America, have a good time for an hour and a half, and walk away happy.
But it's important they do think about those gun control laws. Throwing it up. No.
Maybe.
So I was going to ask you, because it's something that's bothered me for a while. And I don't know if you know, but there seems to be a lot of comedians I like that they tour, but they skip over St. Louis. They'll do Chicago, KC, and like Nashville or something, but they'll bounce right over St. Louis. And so it's like I've traveled to KC several times to see people because I really want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I actually went to see Robert Schimmel up there before he passed, which was incredible. At the Improv up there, which is, mm-hmm. I know, is a little bit bigger traditional comedy club than than the Funny Bone. But like I think the Pageant's kind of getting to their, they're trying to tap into where they're more of a comedy or a theater comedy experience.
I think that that happened because there's a number of reasons. One, if somebody had a bad experience at the Funny Bone at the time, you know, up until genuinely 2 years ago, there nobody knew that there was another venue in town interested in doing comedy.
Yeah.
So it was like, well, if I don't want to go to the Funny Bone, I'm not going to go to St. Louis. And so I think that was one thing. I think also just the market in general for comedy in St. Louis, you know, it's definitely not Chicago. Kansas City has its own thing with improv. I don't really have any idea what their stand-up scene is like.
Right.
But I think it was just a matter of it was an uncertainty. Yeah. And so, and then also just, you know, it's, it comes down to the fundamental of driving. They can come down through St. Louis and then go to Kansas City and then go to Denver, or they can just skip St. Louis, go to KC and go to Denver and spend a day in Denver having a cool time around the mountains.
Smoking weed.
But I think it was just that comedians didn't know that there were options in St. Louis. And, you know, and it took a while to even get to that. I mean, people had to know that the Firebird would put out chairs, you know, plush booked comedians. FUBAR even tried their hand at booking comedians. It really did take kind of a while to see what room would work and who was going to be enthusiastic about going back to that space, you know? Yeah.
Does, and this may be kind of a dumb question, but does something like Dave Chappelle coming in here help the reputation of St. Louis as a comedian?
Absolutely.
I didn't know if, like, okay, South Spice, you know, so what? Or if it's, like, other promoters and other things say, wow, St. Louis has got something going on here, and especially if with him having a select amount of dates, you know, not just...
Well, I mean, there's there's been comedians that have come through and said, I had a good time at the Firebird. I'm going to tell my agent or my manager to tell everybody to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And do that, and that helps. You know, if they know that there's, like, I mean, just as far as, like, the booking world goes, people, agents don't like to go into a city where there's one place, because then that place is in charge and not the agent or booker.
Mm-hmm.
When there's more than one place, they can, you know, they can do the whole let's play the price game. But the cool thing that St. Louis has going for it is everybody's friends. Mm-hmm. All of the people that book music, comedy in St. Louis, everybody's talking to each other.
Yeah.
So there's still absolutely that competitiveness of I want to get this show,
right?
But there's also like, hey, this guy's being a dick. Yeah. Don't let him try and pull this prize on you. I'm not giving him that prize, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm barely into the booking game. I know that that has happened, but I don't know how much it happens. But too, just knowing that, you know, if somebody tries to pull one over on you, you can be like, uh-uh, girlfriend, like. We talk, you know?
We know what's going on.
I see a lot of that with, like, with music, where, like, you know, like, off-Broadway, they share a lot of stuff, like, from the Gramophone, too, or Ready Room and the Demo, and those, like, they promote a lot of, you know, cross-promote stuff.
Well, Ready Room, Firebird, and Demo are all
under
the umbrella of Mike Crocciolo.
Yeah.
There's a lot of passover between employees and that kind of thing, between those three spots.
It's nice to see that they're, I mean, well, obviously they all are kind of owned, but it's nice to see that there's people, like you said, communicating between each other, mm-hmm. not to where it's like, you know, there's not like that line where you can't cross. And
well, I mean, there is. I mean, everybody is absolutely out for blood.
Sure.
But well, also, once the blood's drawn, they'll be like, dude, here's a Band-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want you to die over it, but I just want you to know that I'm boss.
Yeah.
You know? But, I like, Mama loves you, but Mama will whoop your ass. You know?
Shane, I'm just curious because, you know, and you can definitely chime in on this, too, but, like, as St. Louis, how do you see... Do you see it trending more towards a better... And this is not from past, but just from here on out. Trending is a better location for music? Or do you think comedy is starting to take that over? And again, you can definitely chime in too, but I just know that you go to ever like music and comedy all over the place. I'm just curious.
I mean, I you know, I like to honestly think it's about 50-50. Like I said earlier, this lineup of comedy coming in town is just insane. For anybody that's a comedy fan, it's just all these people are, you know, top of the game comedy active comedians right now. Besides that, that are obtainable. You know, obviously, you know, like guys like Louis C.K. and stuff, they're going to be playing much bigger theater stuff,
right,
or arenas, things. And but these guys that are coming up are all on their way up to doing like Louis C.K. numbers and stuff like that. And for music, it's nice to see so many venues coming up in town. Like just recently, we've opened several new venues around town, and even there's the Moonshine Blues Bar in St. Charles, which is bringing a lot more like these Broadway blues shows from Beal and BB's and Oyster Bar and stuff to St. Charles County, which is cool because a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to go across the river and that kind of thing. But it's nice that as a whole, I feel like St. Louis is really on the way up again with entertainment. You know, music and comedy both are growing, and even as a local scene, I think there's great a lot of super talented bands and comedians in this town that people should take notice. That's why we're doing this show, is trying to let people know, hey, there's a lot of cool stuff going on in your own community to get it, you know, get on it.
Yeah, good deal. We're about hitting the hour mark here. We don't want to keep you too late, but it's almost 9:30. I mean, Brad Cousin kick us out, but again, we'll kind of shoot out some key dates for Comedy in the Lou that are coming up here. So what in the next couple weeks here?
Coming up, it really all kind of kicks off in October. October's going to be absolutely insane. October 9th, Best Buds of Comedy are coming to the Elvis Room, and that's in the basement of Blueberry Hill. The following week, the 14th, we have Sam Talent and Eric Anker at Foam. That following night, the 15th, we have Dave Ross with Kevin White and Zach Peterson, also at the Elvis Room. And then Chris D'Elia will be at the Pageant on October 11th. Hannibal Buress is the 24th. Thank you. It's a lot of... I'm not good with numbers.
You've impressed me so far.
I'm doing surprisingly well.
In 2014,
thing is, I am horrible. I say I'm bad with numbers, but on a majority of the times I put out a post, I get a text message from either Kenny Kynes or Stryker of, hey, your date's wrong. And I'm just like, you know, like...
Yeah.
I should be able to get the date correct, you know? That's kind of the most important thing.
I mean, give or take sometimes.
And then Anthony Jeselnik is coming in November. Dave Chappelle, October 30th. That's going to be
two shows.
Somebody's going to die. You have Dave Chappelle the 30th and then Halloween the next night.
Not really what we need in St. Louis.
Lord of mercy.
No more people dying. Yeah. But no.
I think it was Mike Howington, like, put on Facebook all these lists
Brandon Judd.
I think he did the math. It was like $250 to try to go to every one of those shows or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, man, this is going to put a tap on my bank account.
Hope is that
it's not necessarily that they're all expensive. It's just the fact that there's so many. That's like 15, 20 shows that are coming up in October, so it's like...
Yeah, and I can't curse the Cardinals, but I don't want to get baseballed.
I got to see Lucas Nelson a while back, and he played like Game 6 of the World Series at Old Rock House, and like they knew better than to compete with the baseball game, so he went on like 11:30 at night, like, because... It's just,
yeah, I mean, you know. I 2 years ago I went and saw the Drive-By Truckers, and it was the same thing. Yeah. It was, you know, he came on and said, Patterson came out and said, we know we're supposed to start at 8, and for the 200 of you in here, we want to be on time, but we're going to wait and pray that the game does not go into extra innings, and we're going to start playing at 10:30, and we're going to go until, you know, our midnight curfew, and...
Right.
You know, and genuinely, it was like floodgates. Like the game went off in Halo Bar, they just like flipped off the TVs, and it was like whoosh, pushed over, and you know,
yeah.
And it's amazing because it doesn't. And with comedy, it doesn't seem like... It seems like if you're into sports, you know, you need a good laugh, but also, like, you probably think that you're better than laughs. That yeah. there is more, like, a RBI is way more important than yeah. a set-up punchline, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I want to think that there's crossover between the two because you're never going to meet a more committed crowd than baseball fans, but at the same time, I don't know. Yeah. Can sports fans also be comedy fans? That's the question.
That's the big question. I think there's a possibility there. There's a chance. That's a chance. I like hockey.
Yeah.
And I like to laugh.
Hockey. I like hockey now that they allow fighting.
I think they've always allowed fighting.
No, I don't think so. Didn't they used to, like, tell them to quit?
No, they
I thought, like, after the strike, they came back. We're like, you can fight now!
No, they could always fight. I think it's actually toned down a little bit more so than what it used to be, but...
Well,
still, it's kind of funny because, you know, any other fighting in sports, like, well, this is stupid. But hockey, it's like, I'm going to punch you in the face and I'll tap you on the helmet. Like, hey, good fight, dude. Good job. It's some organized chaos.
Well, I remember, like that was, like, Tony Twist's job on the team. Like,
they still have the enforcers that, like, they can't play really well. Or just, like, go fight him or stand
slam
up for
people.
Him. Yeah. That's fun, though.
What was that, Gordon and what was it, the Bash Brothers on Mighty Ducks, like those?
Oh yeah,
they were the
Fulton Reed and I don't remember the other guy's name.
I said Gordon. That was the coach.
Gordon Bombay.
Yeah.
Fulton Reed and
Fulton
the other guy.
And the dude who's like 25 years old.
I remember when they were all in the
and they got the little Asian guy. In the
I can't stop. Was that guy?
Yeah. No, that was a different guy.
Oh. Remember when they
that
were
was
all
an
like,
Italian guy. I don't know their names.
Tied
just
together.
We just know their stereotypes that they don't belong on a hockey rink.
Yeah,
they were all tied together, and then they were all like somebody farted, and they thought it was Goldberg, and he's like, it was me.
No, it was me. Fulton Reed. That's gonna drive. I'm gonna have to figure it out on the way home. See what his name is.
That's if you know, if you're listening, be sure to tweet us the answers.
Yeah, let us know.
Yeah, $1 million question. Jeez. Well, before we wrap up here, and I was thinking this as we were talking, I want to shout out to Alex Bird, who got married Saturday. He's co-hosted a few episodes when I was away, and he's going to do some work with us next coming weeks, probably some impersonations of people. But shout out to him for congratulations on getting married.
Yeah. Way to go,
kudos
Bird
to
man.
Him. So, you know, and then one more time, shout out to STL Tech Talk, Geekly Podcast, and Deathgate Podcast. Check those guys out. And definitely check out Comedy in the Loo. Now, is there an official site outside of Facebook?
Comedyintheloo.com. And that feeds everything to Facebook and Twitter at Comedy in the Loo. We technically have an Instagram, but I don't have time for that. At Comedy in the Loo for Facebook, Twitter, comedyintheloo.com for the website. And
go see some shows.
Yeah, tell people about shows because I need help telling people about shows.
Yeah, there you go.
Retweet,
share. Just tell me, and then I will. If you tell me, if you tweet at me and tell me to personally invite one of your friends, I will write them a handwritten letter inviting them to a comedy show with an RSVP.
That's dedication.
I will do it.
It's kind.
100%.
You get a flood of. Dozens of.
I'll probably. If I get more than five, I will. I don't know. We'll come up with terms. If I get more than five, the sixth person gets to come up with the terms.
If you get more than five, we'll help do whatever we need to because that means that we've had some form of influence over anything that I've never would have imagined. So, good deal. Well, Kelsey, thanks for coming on and hanging out with us and enjoyed the talk. And again, Comedy in the Loo. Check it out. Facebook, Twitter, and comedyintheloo.com. All right.
Boom.
Anything else? Bam. Episode 20.
That's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Whoop, whoop. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.